Okay, hello everybody. I think we should start in time so that we may finish in time and you have your time to go to the networking party outside. Welcome to Service Management Automation Deep Dive session. Another SMA session, I think. And before I introduce myself, I think you should introduce you, Michael. So it's up to you right now.
My name is Michael Riffey. I'm working at IDnetics. And I'm also an MEP for Cloud and Data Center Management. With my colleague, Markus Klein.
Yeah, Markus Klein. I'm working in Germany, as you may hear if I talk German. I don't talk Switzerland or Swiss German. I'm MVP Cloud and Data Center Management too, and I've founded the German Building Clouds community some years ago. And I've been working with WAP. Azure Pack 2 years now, and before that my focus was on automation using Service Manager and Orchestrator.
Okay, quick question, hands up, who did attend one of the other SMA session at the conference? Oh.
Okay, more than 50%.
Hands up if you still think this is a cool product. Good, we're good. So we really can do a deep dive then. Anyway, we're going to have a short introduction into SMA, what SMA is all about. And then we're going to dive very quickly into the concepts, how this works under the hood. And we will try to make it as interesting as we make. Can do it, so we would like to do a ping pong session with an interaction of you guys. So if you have questions, so please ask the questions. If it's a question we cannot answer that fast, we will answer it afterwards at the booth of Ask the Experts after the conference, during the party, whatever.
Yeah.
So this is what you will get from this session, and we will start with...
First slide, yes. So Orchestrator or SMA. We decided to do some pictures, so maybe Orchestrator could be compared to that. Just a quick question, who of you already has been working with Orchestrator in the past? Okay, good number.
Who is really addicted to Orchestrator? A few ones, okay. Yeah. And then we have this guy. At the left, it's rock solid. Maybe it lacks a little bit.
One moment, I have to switch sides.
Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't personal. So, at the right side, we have the new product. Let's say the new version. It looks very cute. It's not feature complete, but I would say it's the way to go. But or is it better together? We will see it in a few minutes.
Yeah, but what feature of Microsoft or product of Microsoft is feature complete? So,
I'm not supposed to answer this question here. So. Yeah.
But our goal would be that we should would like to show you how it's better together, primarily in the first step when you already have deployed Orchestrator runbooks in your environment. Why should you now go with service management automation, and why should you convince your customers to switch completely to SMA, or is there something within between?
So the least thing I'm going to say is Orchestrator is dead. That's not true. why you should give SMA a shot, here's the list. Pick one. My favorite one is 64-bit and PowerShell-based, 100% PowerShell-based. Yeah. We will see afterwards what that means exactly.
Yeah.
And to get an overview, we start with the database.
Yes.
As so Orchestrator, the database is?
We have an Orchestrator, SMA database still there, yes. If you compare it to Orchestrator, you have a database there too.
Oh, this is key. Everything is stored in the database. Jobs, job states, variables, credentials, everything.
Yeah. And but I think that everybody would have guessed that everything sits on the database. So the most interesting thing could be that we have a REST API, a web service that sits on the database. That's that one we are talking to. And then we have may have a web portal, so the web admin portal where you can configure and use SMA as a first version for something like a GUI.
Yes, do it that way. And this is, he mentioned it already, this is not mandatory, but you might think that you are very comfortable with the web admin portal. There is a way around without web. We will see that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And of course, the workers then. Somebody has to execute your jobs, so the code has to be executed. And of course, a lot of interfaces.
Yeah, and as you can see here, we have possible worker that's orchestrator, so you can kick off your orchestrator runbook using SMA and vice versa, but we'll come to that later on.
Yeah, this list on the left down is not complete, of course. Everything you can do with PowerShell, you can do with SMA workflows with less efforts than with orchestrator, of course. If you know PowerShell, then you're good with SMA. If no, then you learn PowerShell and you're good in... And that's... the interface you have a web browser to control the web admin portal to interact with the web service, or you can have directly web service calls out of your whatever programming language you like, or you have the PowerShell commandlets from the SMA module. So far?
Correct. So far, so good.
How are you going to deploy that, Marcus?
Yeah. Okay, we have the SQL. Database HA key, it's a key. We have the admin portals. We have the possibility to combine the web servers with the workers. And we can scale SMA quite good. So out of the box, we have the way to use high availability with SMA and not with like orchestrator. You have to, you have to make sure that you're high available in some way as it's possible.
Well, this is a, I would say this is a best practice solution for a productive environment, of course. Can you have everything on one box? Yes, you can. Should you? No. That's like a best practice stamp here.
Yeah. And as you can see on the button, SQL Always On is a solution you can use for the SMA database. It's supported as soon as you don't do asynchronous synchronization was always on, then you're left in trouble.
Always on means synchronous copy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's supported. So if you look at the runbook workers, if you're familiar with the runbook worker concept of orchestrator, then forget all you know about it. It's completely different. So each runbook worker, you can have 1, 2, you can have 20, 40, whatever you like. Each worker picks up a static queue from the database to execute the jobs. So what the heck does that mean? We have a look at the table here. This is the queues table. So at the queues table, you have two runbook workers, and you see the numbers starting from 0, ending at 2, 1, 4, what is this, a billion or something? I don't care. If you have multiple runbook workers, they will split the queue numbers automatically. So if I add 4, they will split the whole range of queues up onto 4 ranges of numbers.
Do you know if there's a maximum number of workers you can do? Can use?
if I divide 2,
or is it possible to use 10 or 20 or 100?
As far as I'm aware, there's no limitation on number of workers. Maybe there's a limitation on number of concurrent access to the database, but this is, I have no idea if there is a limitation there. And of course, the jobs, if you execute the runbook, it will create an instance, like in Orchestrator, it will create a new instance for the runbook, a job instance, and the job instance is assigned to a random value mapped to a queue and at the end to the runbook worker. So no more limitation on 50 concurrent jobs on a primary runbook server, or something stupid things like that. It's really, it does scale out at the number of workers you deploy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's basic high scalable design. So you have to have as much service as you like, and so you're prepared for the future, I think.
Yeah, the number of workers you're going to deploy depends on the number of concurrent jobs you are going to execute, and also on type of the job. So if you have complex scripts with a lot of interfaces, maybe your CPU load on the worker gets higher and higher, so you're going to deploy more workers to spread the CPU load.
Okay,
Marcus,
so question
is, how can I download SMA?
How can you download SMA? It depends on what do you want. So at first, if somebody of you has already seen this part of Orchestrator, if you start the CD, you get a feedback that you are able to use or set up automation. So as on the left, we see the web service, the runbook worker, the PowerShell module that sits on the Orchestrator CD. There on the right, you see the service provider foundation, service reporting. I talked yesterday about that. So one way is Orchestrator already. Second way is Azure Pack. So if you go with Orchestrator, you won't have any graphical user interface. The only way to use it is using the PowerShell API. With Azure Pack, you can use your WebPI launcher and use it, download it using that way. And then when you set up Azure Pack, you will see the automation part, as you can see on the right, where Azure Pack gives you a way to configure SMA.
Yeah, this, by the way, is Azure Automation. Did everyone try out Azure Automation? What's that?
Sorry, that was me.
Azure Automation already, it's the same thing. It's the same concept. It's the same engine behind it. So the experience is much more the same as you would expect it.
Maybe you already know that there's a great graphical user interface for SMA. We're going to show you later on.
So how the heck do we get from the left to the right?
So it's get rid of the left and buy the right.
Yes, it's that easy. Get rid of native actions in Orchestrator. Whatever integration pack you are using right now, think about to replace the native actions from the integration pack with PowerShell scripts. If you're not going to deploy SMA instantly, think about to switch to native.NET PowerShell script actions in Orchestrator.
Yeah.
It will help you afterwards for transition to SMA.
Yeah, and then you should use these .NET PowerShell script actions to make your runbooks work, and that gives you a way to be best prepared to move to SMA.
Yeah, the harder it is to place a PowerShell script into a native action in Orchestrator, go for it. It's really worth it. So you save time for your transition to SMA. Integrate both worlds together. So it doesn't mean that you have to kick away Orchestrator right now. You can run both products side by side. If you like, even you can run it on the same boxes, so they don't interfere each other, if you like. I wouldn't recommend, but if you have to keep your server investments there, you can install the SMA bits and roles on the same boxes. Marcus, tell us something about PowerShell workflows.
PowerShell workflow, perhaps some of you already know what PowerShell workflow. PowerShell workflow looks like a function. So if you already know how to code using PowerShell, it looks like a function. It's been compiled on the fly using XAML code for WWF executed by this engine. It has limited commandlet support, but we have a way to solve this using inline scripts. Yep. You have the way to do parallel or sequential executions, and Yeah, we have support for checkdisk and checkpoints and resumes. So what's a checkpoint, by the way?
A checkpoint is a instant snapshot of the current state of a runbook. So imagine you have, well, let's keep that for the...
I think we should keep it for later on, yes.
Think about something goes right and then something goes wrong. And you fix that, and you don't want the right actions to rerun again. So let's think about like
but
that.
But we've slide on that later on. Yeah, and that's how a partial workflow may look like.
Very sexy, isn't it? Okay. Marcus said, it's like a function. You don't name it like function, and then the name of your function. You name it to workflow. And of course, you have to introduce the parameter block. The parameter block is the input area. You can compare it to the initialized data action in your orchestrator runbook. Next step is the assets. What's about assets in SMA? What are assets?
Yeah, as you can see here, we have connections to VMM, perhaps credentials to logging on using a service like VMM. So that's the asset right now.
Yeah, it's basically what you did with variables in Orchestrator, but it's more powerful. We will see that afterwards. It's more powerful. So the goal of assets is, of course, to keep your runbook clean from any hard-coded stuff. So any variable you're using shouldn't have a hard-coded value in your runbook, so that's what you're using assets for. If and something changes, you just change the asset value, and all your runbooks are good again.
And we hope that if you're using Orchestrator within the past, you've done that with Orchestrator too. You've created variables to make the runbook work properly.
Of course,
properly.
Sir.
Of course, yes.
The inline script. You see, in the wild, wild world, you will find a lot of runbook examples using inline scripts. An inline script is, let's name it like a workaround for a missing functionality in WWF, in the Windows Workflow Foundation. As Marcus said, if you're going to execute a runbook, SMA, using the PowerShell engine below, is going to compile the whole code into a WWF understandable code fragment. So the Windows Workflow Foundation engine doesn't understand PowerShell at all. It uses the Workflow Foundation code to execute the things which are written down here in this workflow.
But I think that's the way where we can use all available PowerShell modules that you're going to find, so you are not only used to Microsoft software. If you have a whatever working functionality that's based on PowerShell, you can add it right in there.
Every time you get an error of SMA claiming that this commandlet or this action you want to execute is not available as a native workflow action, you have to use it within an inline script. There are drawbacks, of course, using inline scripts. Inline scripts are executed in a separate container, in a separate process area. They are returned back to the main workflow. So there is some difficulty to interact with inline scripts while they are running, but it's a cool workaround to get everything running in the workflow.
So basically, if you already coded some functions in PowerShell, you just have to make sure that you start with the workflow and then the bracket and have to close with the brackets, and then you're done, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like if you have a PowerShell script, and inside this PowerShell script, you're going to execute another PowerShell script using PowerShell exe dash command and then the script path. That's exactly what happens with an inline script inside a workflow. So what's that about?
What's smart? Smart is a way to move from your Orchestrator runbooks that you already modified and get rid of all Orchestrator IP activities within. It's a tool that's available via CodePlex, so you can use it, and you have a way to put an input as an input the Orchestrator runbook, and if you're done with that, you start the conversion helper, And yeah, when you're finished, you will get something like this. So
can
you
I
have
push
to?
Can I push the button and I have nothing to do anymore?
Yeah, you have to do that.
So okay, I'm going to.
So
push the
please push the button right now.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's,
and that's it.
It.
So at the end, we're going to have a orchestrator, SMA PowerShell workflow based output, and you can just put that into your SMA, and you're done.
Yeah. So basically, it converts the existing workflow into a PowerShell workflow, but that doesn't mean that you have nothing to do anymore right now. It just wraps the framework of your current runbook into a workflow-like code. So with this one, you're going to hit the sec. Nothing will happen on the right side if you execute this.
Yeah.
So
but it's CodePlex, so should we think about the tool that would do all the magic for us? I don't think it would be CodePlex.
No, it's just a help to understand what actions you have to include in your PowerShell workflow world if you're converting the runbook. So imagine if you have already done your job and you got rid of all these native actions on the left over. Every action is just a PowerShell script which is executed in Orchestrator. Your work is now much more easier on the right side.
But
you already have
hopefully,
the code.
Hopefully you would have done that work already, because if you're doing Orchestrator correctly right now, or if you're doing it with the Microsoft Consultant Service or whatever, they always use PowerShell. They don't use any Orchestrator IP functionality.
Yeah, because 99% of the IPs, they just suck,
yeah,
right?
That's it.
Because exactly this function you need is missing in the IP. Another tool of Smart, it's called the Smart Runbook Import and Export Toolkit. Very nice name, by the way. It's a set of PowerShell scripts which makes your life easier if you have multiple environments. Hopefully you have multiple environments. Dev tests, production, at least two environments. So you test your runbooks, you export it in a bulk mode, executing one script. They are exported in XML and or in PS1 format. You copy the stuff to the destination machine, you run the import script, and you're done. Assets are coming with. Runbooks, of course, are coming with.
Yeah.
So at the target, if you import it the first time, you just have to change the values of the assets, and then you're done. The next time you import it, you can skip the import asset, so they won't get overwritten again.
So that smart tools have been done by, or are being done by, Jim Britt. He has been working for the SMA product group, but I think he left and is now doing CRM or whatever.
Yeah, he left the CRM group, but
he still
answers my questions, so he's still around. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Let's
do some sports, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully the demo will not be fucked up. So you will see a little example how Orchestrator and SMA can talk to each other. So please don't argue me about the productive use case. It's just to get an idea how easy it is to integrate both worlds.
Did you use this glass, by the way?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so I have to change.
Yeah. Might be better. Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
So I think I have to switch again.
So this
Orchestrator is on the left and SMA is on the right, so I'm the wrong side.
Yeah, I keep you keep you busy. This console here is famous and I do truly like it, but I hate. But that's the world we are living in right now. And we have a runbook, which has an action, which just gets a random value between 1 and 100. That's very sophisticated, isn't it? And if the value here is greater than the value we have from the input data, then the winner is SMA, otherwise the winner is orchestrator, right? So if we have the value, we will send the platform event. The winner was SMA orchestrator. And here we are going to push the ball back to SMA, and SMA does the same thing, vice versa. So they play table tennis. They play it for 5 rounds, but the interesting thing is here, start SMA runbook, you have to define the web service URL. Of course, this is a variable in orchestrator. The web service URL of SMA, and then the runbook name you're going to execute, and of course, this is why I really like this product. So here we are going to invoke the runbook with some parameters. The parameters, by the way, is a hash table. What's the problem with hash tables? Basically nothing, but the hash tables have to survive the web service deserialization on SMA. So no complex objects are allowed here, just string values, Boolean values, and integers. And yeah, that I might be sure that's it. So we're going to kick off the SMA runbook. It's just one line of code, right? And on the other side, we have SMA. We have SMA. I'm going to show the other side of the runbook execution on SMA. This is the PowerShell workflow, and down somewhere we are going to call the orchestrator runbook. And again, because of the tight integration, both are using PowerShell modules, we have just a one line of code to just execute the runbook, start orchestrate the runbook with the parameters, the same rules apply to this call at the orchestrator web service side. So now let's kick that off. I'm going to switch to the job view for this runbook. I'm sorry about the resolution. I'm trying to keep that as smooth as possible so you can see the status of the job and the execution time. On the other side, I have the runbooks of Orchestrator Web Service Portal, or Orchestrator Web Admin Portal, I'm sorry. And here's the ping pong runbook from Orchestrator, and I'm going to kick that off.
Not should start.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't want to show that. View jobs. No. Sorry. Okay, let's kick that off. And it's your decision. Give me a number between 1 and 100. 22. So this excellent Silverlight console, I have to refresh manually. And on the other side, you have the HTML5. Yeah. You see that the runbook is getting queued right now. It's getting started. It returns the value calculated in SMA back to Orchestrator. And this continues for about four or five rounds. And the goal is that we are afterwards going to the events and see what randomly happened, if SMA won the game or Orchestrator. And it's randomly, so we might see weird results, meaning Orchestrator can win.
Maybe. But during our tests, Orchestrator won the game, so perhaps SMA is now on, it's not the turn for SMA. So third runbook is... Our third job is starting at SMA right now.
It's the fourth one. No, it's the third one.
Third,
right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if they play 4 or 5 rounds. I might lost this value last night, maybe.
We're going to see.
Okay, 4. Another one. I think that's it.
It looks like yes.
What's the problem with four? We could have a draw.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see the events. The four last events. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, but yeah. This is SMA has won the game. So
yeah.
Let's finish that that joke. The goal was to show you that it's really easy to integrate both worlds, to save your investments in Orchestrator, and start to work with SMA parallel.
Yeah, so now you should think about that when you are doing new Orchestrator runbooks. Don't do Orchestrator runbooks, just do SMA and fire up your runbooks in Orchestrator using SMA. Okay, so let's go
on. Is everyone still on board? Any questions on workflows? Or we are going to dive into workflows a little bit more right now. Any questions about the architecture of SMA? I think you already heard a lot of it in the previous sessions.
It looks to me like the audience is still on board, hopefully.
Okay. Then we're going to dive into the runbook authoring, let's say, best practice world,
mm-hmm.
And also some pitfalls you can run into. Yeah. Variable scoping. So, in PowerShell scripts, we have also some different scopes for variables. It's the script. We have the function level. We have the global level, and same applies here.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
three scopes.
Three scopes.
Yes, workflow, inline scripts, and PowerShell remote sessions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what if you want to pass a variable from a workflow to an inline script, and inside this inline script, you're going to execute a PS remote session to execute something on the remote machine? You have to pass the variable three times.
Yeah.
Is that a problem? Yeah, it is, but there is a workaround, right?
It's possible using the $using functionality.
Yeah. Yeah. So $using, what you mentioned, is a fixed scoped variable, which is just changing the scope of a variable. Let's say you have a variable named $A equals Robert. You pass it to an inline script. Within the inline script, to access the variable, you have to use $using. What's the name for the double?
Double? What do you mean?
Doppelpunkt.
Doppelpunkt?
Double point? $using Doppelpunkt, and then the name of the variable without a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what about PS remoting? Is that possible, Michael?
Yes. But if you want to pass the same variable into a PS remote session, then you have to do really, really weird things.
Okay.
Who remembers the way you did pass variables to a PS remote session before PowerShell 3.0? A few hands, okay.
Yeah.
This is really weird. We are going to have a look at it.
Yeah.
The better way is to execute the whole inline script as a remote script on the target computer. Then you can use the $using variable changing feature in the remote session. We will show you that in a minute.
Yeah, that's it. Correct. So
what you can see here is what?
It's an example for what? Can somebody tell us what we are doing here or what we can see here?
Anyone an idea why we are using invoke command, what it is? Yeah, it's a remote session. It's a PowerShell remote command to a remote computer. And we want to pass the variable server name and process name into the remote command. So the problem is we have to do the weird thing with the parameter block inside the invoke command code and then use the argument list to pass it back to the remote session. Oh, this is really annoying.
Yeah, it is.
But
that's the alternative?
This one?
Yeah.
I think it's your favorite, right?
Why mine?
Because you have to write less code. You're lazy.
I always like doing less code.
Okay, so the PS computer name
yeah.
is used to execute the whole inline script on the remote computer while just leveraging the dollar using mechanism to pass the variable.
So it's not one line, it's not the one line, but it's less if you compare it to the one above.
It also looks very nice. The rumbug nesting. Rumbug nesting, why are we nesting rumbugs, Marcus? Why are we just not creating a big, huge, whatever, rumbug?
I wanted to confuse everybody if I'm doing a big one, or didn't I? No.
Who is writing orchestrator rumbug at the concept for writing orchestrator rumbugs for 2012? I think it's written in 2000 for orchestrator 2012.
Yeah.
Orchestrator rumbug authoring concept.
Yeah.
Like master rumbug and the child rumbugs and maybe child rumbugs or helper rumbugs. Who is doing that? Okay. Who is still doing a huge rumbug? Single one, hands up, you won't get blamed.
Come on, let's don't hesitate to raise your hand if you do it.
That's the basic concept. It's the same in SMA like in Orchestrator.
Yeah.
Do not create a super duper huge runbook which executes all the steps in your workflow. Create a runbook for exactly one action. Let's say start a virtual machine, or...
But why should we do that? It's because then we can reuse functionalities.
It's reusable.
Yeah.
While debugging, we can use the white box method to debug stuff. Just debug a small portion of your code and not a huge runbook with 10,000 of lines of code. And what he said is most important, I think, from my point of view, we can reuse it for other runbooks. Starting a virtual machine might be used in different runbooks. We do not just use the start virtual machine or stop virtual machine for just a single runbook. We are using multiple times.
Yeah, we do.
And the runbook nesting is the same concept in Orchestrator as in SMA, but there are different ways to nest the runbooks in SMA.
It would be too easy if we only have one way. So
what's the pro if we call the runbook synchronously, meaning just put the name of the child runbook into our parent runbook?
Yeah, so the pro is then we run it in the same job context. Mm-hmm. So, and then another thing is that the parent waits for completion.
So we have control to wait for the child to finish and then continue, right?
Yeah, I would love if my daughter would do that too, if she would wait for me.
So no parallel tasking for you?
The next thing is like exceptions and output streams for child are directly available to the parent, so you can see the output of a child runbook, and you can work with that.
And this is important, believe us. If you want to debug a master runbook calling 20 child runbooks, you want to see what happens in the child runbook on the level of the master runbook. You don't want to be blind and
And finally, it supports complex input parameters if you have them.
Yeah. So. As we remember, the SMA web service only survives hash tables with input parameters if they are in a simple manner and not complex objects.
Okay.
So but there is also.
What's the con
for that? I would say mostly hurts the last thing. It's not that bad, but the last thing can take a lot of time to start your master runbook. Why is that? If we go back some slides, PowerShell does not execute workflows. The workflow gets compiled from PowerShell code to workflow foundation, and the workflow foundation compiles the master runbook as well as all the child runbooks before execution. So every runbook gets compiled at the same time as the master runbook and gets controlled if the code is valuable or is valid for WWF or not. So that's maybe that can take from 30 seconds to 3 minutes to execute a master runbook with a lot of child runbooks in it. That's
depends upon how complex your runbook is. Yeah, and
we
have the second way of runbook nesting, so starting a runbook directly from within the workflow. So as you have already seen in some slides ago, the second possibility, and we're going to have some pros here too.
Yeah, the pros are definitely not that big.
Yeah.
You might see that we don't have a chance to know if the runbook has finished or not. So how do we control if the child runbook has finished? It just executes an external call back to the web service, execute runbook XYZ.
Yeah,
it gets executed and we never see it again.
I think that's the one my daughter does.
Okay.
She starts something and I don't know if she finishes.
Okay, so beside the fact that if you have runbooks where all the child runbooks can be executed parallel without knowing when they are finished or not, there are really, really rare use cases from my point of view. But the really bad point here is you have to check the completion if you want to check if it's done or not. And the completion is checked via web service. So get SMA runbook with the ID you got back from starting the job and do a loop, check if it's finished, check if it's finished, check if it's finished, check.
Yeah.
And again and again. That's, from my point of view, the biggest loss here.
It is.
Or if you wanna get back some values from the child runbook, maybe you wanna push back some output parameters from the child runbook back to the master runbook, that's not straightforward. That's really not straightforward. It's possible, but with a huge workaround.
Yeah. So yeah, let's go to talk about the checkpoints. You started that thing discussion some slides ago. So we're going to
Maybe
have more information on that.
Maybe the purpose of checkpoints is to keep your work, which has already been done correctly, at the state that it was before the error came up. Or you have some manual approvals within your workflows. Let's say you have three steps which are being executed in your runbook. The fourth step executes a service manager approval request where the user has to approve something. So you have to suspend the runbook manually, then get the manual feedback from the service portal. The service portal then resumes the runbook. Or if it's error-driven, meaning four actions are good, the fifth is screwing up everything, but you're going to fix that. And you don't want to execute all the four previous actions again. So that's why you're using checkpoints.
And what SMA is doing, it's saving it to the database, and you have to the way to resume it. Yeah.
Yep. And there are three ways to do that.
Again, three ways, yes.
Again, three ways. My personal favorite is the last one, because I like switches on, off, on, off. That's very easy. Here I turn it on. Some lines later, I turn it off. Then I turn it on again, and turn it off. What that means, when it's turned on by default, it creates a checkpoint in your workflow for every commandlet you're executing. So be careful not to have it enabled on top of your workflow and somewhere down below you're going to stop it. Your database will grow. So because the checkpoints are saved in the SMA database.
It may be a way for troubleshooting or whatever where you can use it, but if you're finished, you're done with your runbook and it works, then you should at least latestly disable it.
Yeah, or use the middle, the second option.
Yeah.
If you know exactly what you're doing and nothing can go wrong until here, then use checkpoint workflow. That's just one command which manually creates at this point a checkpoint in the workflow where you can resume the runbook if it fails.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Checkpoints?
Not at all.
All right. I have seen some shaking heads, so we continue.
using the SMA PowerShell module.
The PowerShell module?
Yeah.
While you are talking, I'm trying to show the PowerShell module in action.
Okay. If your demo is still
If it still works.
Yeah.
So for what can we use the PowerShell module of SMA? What can we use it for?
Any idea in the room?
To log into my computer?
No. To change your photo?
Oh, that might be a good one. Okay. If as soon you install the PowerShell module of SMA on any machine you like, you have commands. So command, get command, SMA. SMA, a bunch of commands. So let's say you want to get some ROM books out of SMA. Get SMA ROM book. I don't give a name. I want to have any ROM book. I have to define the web service endpoint URL. By default, it's 1990. You can change the port, of course, if you want. If you don't use a port, it uses the default 1990 TCP port. It's executed with my current credentials locked on. Of course, you can provide a PowerShell credential here, if you like. Otherwise, it will execute it with my current credentials. So what you get out of this is just a list of your SMA ROM books, the same thing you can use to execute a ROM book. Let's say I'm going to filter that. Select only the ROM book name. Let's execute that. This one, yep. We already know. Start SMA ROM book and so on. Name it.
And that would be the way if you do it direct. If you use SMA directly from the orchestrator CD, yep. You don't use any graphical user interface. That's the way you need to do it. But I think you like it, didn't you? Well.
Remember the hash table here. The name of the value. And the value itself, like 4 or 3, whatever, and execute it. And you will get back a job ID. Oh, this is a job instance. Now we are going to get SMA job ID, this ID, web service, and of course you put the web service endpoint into a variable, so you don't have to pass it or write it down any other time. So that's the job, it's completed, and if you want to get the job output, what happened inside the job, debug log, error log, progress log, whatever, you're going to get SMA job output. The ID is job ID here. The stream is any or debug or error or output, so progress. I want to have any stream and, of course, this web service endpoint. That doesn't work. No, so we don't have any output. That's because I did not enable debug or write output or write progress or progress outputting.
Yeah,
that's just a small idea what you can do with PowerShell. You can import ROM books. You can export ROM books, you can start them, you can replace them, you can create assets, read out assets, whatever. So you don't need the Azure Pack admin portal, but I would say it's much more comfortable for you to start over with SMA. So this is the admin portal. You see the dashboard for the executed run books in the last whatever days, hours, the run books themselves, author, the draft mode and the publish mode. You have two versions, an edit draft mode and the publish mode. The publish mode is this one, which is going to be executed if you start the run book.
Yeah.
And here you can edit the run book, of course. The console here is not that intelligent as ISE or any other PowerShell development tool is, but let's say for simple things, you're good here. Otherwise, you're going to create the workflow inside ESE or any other tool and paste the code down here.
Yes, and there's some additional tools in work. If you go to the community, you're going to see that there's some additional tools to get better edit functionality. Yeah. So that's one I think that's lacking right now, most especially for that one that know the runbook designer.
Yeah. So okay. Are you missing something? There is no GUI. There is no GUI to arrange the runbooks. There is no GUI to drag and drop your runbooks left to right, whatever. That's missing right now in this version. So just PowerShell code, and you have to be aware in which master runbook you're going to call the child runbox.
But that's subject for improvement, so we're going to see what's going to happen in the next versions.
And this is just, there are some examples which I already showed you right now, so this slide is for home.
Yeah.
And now we are finishing our session with some or maybe some more field notes, tips and do's and don'ts. Let's start, Markus, with?
Yeah, we're going to start with the thing that you should use. You should use write verbose and not write output. So to make sure you got the feedback from your runbook when it is working, because otherwise you have a problem. You don't get any feedback when it's working if you're using the write output.
Yeah, write output is maybe good for debugging ISE, but it's useless in SMA.
Yeah.
Because you have to use write verbose or write something out to your runbook whenever you are executing or reading or doing something. Because to debug, you have to know where you are right now. So be verbose, but don't use write output, and don't use write host at all. Because write host is not catched by any output stream, so it won't work.
Yeah, that's it. Next thing is error handling. So I think every body of you who's dealing with the PowerShell knows try catch for catching or for working with exception. And in addition, you should prefer to return instead of throws. So, but I think hopefully everybody's doing that already when he's doing PowerShell.
This is important one. Try to handle your errors and try to output in a verbose mode the exception, and don't just throw anything out because you want to know why your runbook is failing or not.
So what about logging? Debug logging?
Well, every output stream is saved to the database. But it might be hard if you have complex runbook construct to find the root cause for an error.
Yeah.
So try to log to a central location. As you doing, hopefully, in Orchestrator right now, use a central log file or use a central location for the log file. Name the log files according to the runbook names. Log to a central database. Whatever you're doing, log to a central location. So you have an idea when which runbook has started, which one did fail, at which point. Otherwise, in complex runbook constructs, you won't find the root cause.
Yeah. Do we have a fourth point on this slide? No, we don't have.
No.
So let's come to security.
Now this is
permission.
Just blah, blah, which is coming.
Okay. So yeah, some permission things, restrict service account permissions. So
you don't want to have all in master super duper service account executing the runbooks, being a master hero on your whole forest or your whatever environment.
But basically that would make life easy.
It's much
it
more easier.
It should work in
it's,
general.
It's much more easier, yeah. Right. But for something, you have the assets. You can create PowerShell PS credentials. The credential is saved and encrypted into the database. You can call it, and you can get it out in your runbooks from the SMA database. So use credentials for different systems. Use the credentials for each different systems you want to target. One for VMM, one for Service Manager, one for you name it. And don't assign high privileges to the runbook service account. Just execute it as a normal domain user.
Yep. Second thing, prevent all-in-one here. We already did that.
That's a really pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Did someone try to enter a PS remote session to a remote computer via PowerShell and then access an SMB share or access another remote session or invoke a remote command to a third computer?
Painful.
Oh, this is. Yeah. Oh, that's an awesome feature, right?
Yeah.
And if you're using this technology, you have to enable cred SSP. This is a commandlet, or you can enable it via group policy. Yeah. It's fresh credential delegation option. You can that enable in group policy or via PowerShell. Use that if you have multiple hops in your runbook.
Okay, yeah, some things you should avoid. Code first, plan then. Hopefully you're planning first and doing it and then coding.
Huh? If you do it vice versa, you end up in runbook spaghetti code.
Yeah. It is.
That's the simple fact.
Yeah. Another thing is
plan your process on the paper as you do it right now in Orchestrator and then try to map that to runbooks.
Second thing, we already said that sometime in that session, giant runbooks.
We already had variables, no hard-coded values at all. If you see someone writing a runbook with a hard-coded variable, out. Installing native consoles and tools on workers. This is a good one. Are you installing SCVMM, Service Manager, SCUM, whatever fancy tool we have? Console on the runbook worker to tighten your code in the runbooks?
Should I do that?
Should we do that? What's the difference? If you're installing an SCVMM console on the runbook worker, which advantage do we have there? Anyone?
I think it's too late now
to
get an answer.
No, we can use the native commandlets, right? Yeah. So in our runbook, we just use get SC virtual machine or get, what's the name for an orchestrator? What's the name for a SCUM event? SCUM alert?
Yeah, get SCUM alert.
Get SC, SCUM alert.
Get SCUM alert, yes.
We can use the native commandlets over there, so we don't have a lot of code for just executing some system center integration commandlets. But every time you update something, you have to be aware that you have to update the consoles on every runbook worker.
Yeah.
And to avoid a bunch of consoles and stuff on your runbook workers, my opinion is I'm always using remoting.
Yeah.
I'm remoting to the system where the component is installed already.
That's a good thing.
Maybe that's something we can discuss. This is not a hard fact, but I'm more comfortable with nothing to have on the runbook workers.
Yeah.
And always use remote sessions.
Correct. So
agree or?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
And we have a fifth option. Is being silent in your code. What do you mean by that? I think it was your point on that slide.
As soon as you write the runbook, shout it out. Shout it out loud. No, the meaning here is every time you start to do something, write it down. Write dash verbose. Now I'm going to have a beer. So as soon as you finished your beer, write it down. Now I'm done with my beer. Yeah. Why is that? It's a simple fact. I'm going to show that at the end of the session. Mm-hmm. It's a simple fact that you can control the debug mode with one button click in your runbook.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a slide for home.
Yes, it is.
With a lot, with tons of links on how to do it correctly with the Runbox. So what are the key takeaways?
Yeah,
for the attendees right now.
Yeah, to summarize, SMA PowerShell. It's the future for automation. I think you already know that. There's nothing new, especially if you have been here at the System Center Universe. If you think about the sessions that are for SMA, that's the future, I think. Second thing would be rollbacks, failovers, scalability are there, out of the box. You don't have to think about that with an SMA. And another thing is that PowerShell and its ecosystem is open, endless. Possibilities. So as soon as you get a PowerShell module for the tool you're using, you can integrate it quite easy.
Yes, and I think you heard this a lot of times at the conference, automate, automate, automate.
Yes.
It's just that. It saves your seat.
Okay, any questions left? No? Otherwise, we can discuss it outside during the networking party or tomorrow. We are both here tomorrow,
yeah.
I think so. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to talk to us. Give us a hint.
If you have another, if you have other questions or you want to get more information, this is also a slide to take home. There are a bunch of information over there how to do it or how to get started with SMA. So therefore, we finish with the feedback. Please provide feedback to our session. Remember, we will donate the feedback to an NGO. For every feedback we receive, we will donate, I think, €1 or something like that. And if you have questions, then pick us up at the booth, at the party, whatever, and we will hopefully answer your questions. So thanks for your attention. Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you, guys. And now let's gonna stay outside and
let's
enjoy the rest of the evening.
Let's have mineral water now.
Yeah, I think so. It was the only one they are delivering, isn't it?
It is.